welcome. It's great to have you here with us. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3, and I want to welcome you here in the West Venue, East Venue, and those on our online stream. If you kind of came in a little bit late, you're probably asking, why are we drowning people or why are they taking a bath? That is not what was happening. These are people that were getting baptized. Scripture is very clear about this. It talks about how we are to repent, turn from our sins, the way that we do life. Because let's be honest, a lot of us have had a lot of stuff where it's life's all about me, all about myself. But yet God's going, okay, now we need to get rid of that. So we turn from our sins, we repent, and then once we repent and come into relationship with Jesus Christ, then we are to be baptized. And baptism is an outward sign of an inward choice to follow Jesus. And so Scripture is very clear on this. Repent, turn from your sins, and be baptized. Some of you today, you've maybe recently or at some point in your life, you accepted Jesus Christ, but you've never been baptized. For some of you today, you are here and you're exploring the claims of Christ. You maybe had a relationship at one point, maybe when you're younger, but you don't now, but you're kind of exploring that again. If you today make that decision during this time, or if you've made it in the past but you've never been baptized, I can tell you that we will be able to have you be baptized in the next service if you would like. And some of you are going, hey, for me to get baptized in the next service with all those other people, I don't have any extra clothes to wear. That's okay. We will give you Pastor Adams. And you can wear that home, right? Of course, he's going to be naked, which is just delete, delete, delete. Get out of there. Okay, right? But we'll give you some clothes. We'll find some. We got some shirts. We have shirts here that we can give you or something. So, but anyway, you can be able to do that. And where you would go if you want to is out the kids' hallway. In this back corner is where the offices are. And in the back corner is where they have a meeting for everybody getting baptized. So if you want to get baptized because you haven't yet, you can do that right after this next service. Anyway, God bless you. That's awesome. Hey, a couple other things. One of the things I want to talk to you about is on our C3 app, we're going to be asking a question. I'm going to be asking a question in the message today. If you don't have the C3 app, I'd encourage you, you can go to the app store right now and just put in C3 Tri-Cities and it should pop right up and then just download it. And then a little bit when we get to that question, if you want to, you can be a part of that. You just open the app and there will be a tile there that says poll. It's a poll question. You just hit that and you'll see that when it's time for that. But let me tell you where we're at and where we're going. We are doing a series we're calling Do Over. We started at the beginning of November and we're going to end it next week. But we're calling it Do Over. Why? Because we have a God that is a Do Over God. We have a God that when we do not do things right, which I don't know, that's probably most or all of us, right? We don't do things right usually the first time. We don't do marriage right sometimes. We don't raise our kids right. Our finances aren't good. You know, how we handle our work ethics, whatever. All these things. But yet, what God does is God is a do-over God. God is a God that gives us a do-over. He gives us two do-overs, or five, or 10, or 100, or 1,000. I mean, he's just always about helping us. He's going, okay, you didn't make it that time, that's fine. Let's do it again. Let's try it again. That's the beauty of God, that God cares about us so much. It's not just one and done. When we mess up, he goes, okay, let's have a do-over. Let's stand back up. Let's get going again. And so we've been talking about, over the last couple weeks, different things. The first week, we talked about less is more. And what we talked about in that week is that in our society, in our culture, in the United States, we've got people that just have so much stuff and things. And it's get to where it fills up our closets, our garage, or our cars are out on the street now. And then it's up in the rafters and then in the attic. And then we also put stuff into storage units, and we're paying good money for all that. And what we talked about that first week is that when we have so much clutter and so much stuff, it actually clutters our heart, our soul, and our mind. And so we're talking about less is more. How can we download some of this? How can we get rid of some of this stuff? And we talked about some of those ways to be able to get the clutter out of our life, not just our home, but out of our heart, mind, and soul. And so less is more is what we talked about the first week. Last week, we talked about stress is bad. And there's a lot of different stresses, but last week we talked about specifically financial stress. Financial stress is something that a lot of people deal with when they're single, but I'm going to tell you, it gets huge when you're married. Because in marriage, the number one thing the people fight about in marriage is what? Money, yes. We fight about money, financial stress. And so we talked about that. How do we remove financial stress? How do we take care of this? How do we, if we are married, how come this financial stress usually tears people apart? But we talked about last week, there's a way where this can actually bring you together. And so that's what we talked about last week. And then today, unlike what Pastor Scott said just a little bit ago here in the West venue, he said money is good. That is not our title. Our title is giving is good, right? So that's okay. That's great to have Pastor Scott knowing something once in a while. But giving is good. Giving is good, okay? And then next week, we're going to conclude this series talking about tomorrow matters. So less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. We put these in order for a reason because it kind of builds on each other. And if we apply what we're talking about every week of these things, this could change. Listen, this could change our life, our outlook, our family. It could change everything. So will you, just because I want to drill it down into all of our hearts and our minds, will you say these four things with me? Ready? Here we go. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. Okay, East Bend, you didn't hear you. Let's try it again. Ready? Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. Do we believe that? Sometimes we go, yes. I mean, that's what we say in church. Whenever the pastor says something, do you believe it? Yes, I believe it in this room. But as soon as I hit the parking lot, no, I don't. That's what happens, right? Just like when you're a little kid in Sunday school or whatever. Whatever question the teacher asks, the answer is always Jesus, right? That's what we always think. And so when the pastor says something, you say, yes, but when you hit the parking lot, I really don't believe that. Do we actually, truly, be honest with yourself, do you honestly believe these things that we're talking about? Let me give you a verse that if we would grasp this verse, it could revolutionize our lives. Here's what it is. Acts 20, this is what Jesus said. It is more blessed to what? Give. Than to receive. Let me say it again. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Do we believe that? Okay, yes, I have to say yes because I'm in church. But once I hit the parking lot, no. The reality is God is calling us to be countercultural. You see, what God always tells us to do is that when society and our world is going this direction, he goes, you go the opposite. You go the opposite direction. See, we think to receive stuff and things is better than giving. And God's going, no, let me tell you. It is better. It's better to give than to receive. You know, those of you, and some of you know this because you are givers. Yes, you maybe give to the church, but you also give out in the community and different things. You are a giver, and you know that feeling when you give. You know, when I get something, I don't feel all tingling. Like, oh man, the first time I bought my first flat screen TV, I went home crying the whole time. I was just so happy. No, I don't do that. You know when we feel emotion? When we're givers. When we are giving something to somebody else, when we are helping other people. Some of you, again, are masters at this. You give maybe to the church to help this church continue to reach more people, to be the mission of what we are called to do. Others of you give outside of this community. Some of you give to people that you know, friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, whatever, that have had a tough time and you've helped them maybe with food or rent or fixing their car or whatever. You are just a giver. And there's something about when we do that, when we are generous. Listen, there's something about when we are generous that it does something for us. All of a sudden, it kind of changes our attitude. All of a sudden, we are feeling like we are doing what we are supposed to do. It is better to give than to receive. But sometimes, we don't. A couple years ago, we had my wife's van. We didn't need it anymore, and so we were going to sell it. And we could have got a little bit of money out of that. But we decided, my wife and I talked and said, you know what? There's this family that we know that is struggling. And really what they're needing right now is a vehicle. So we talked and we said, should we just give it to them? And so we decided to. So we called them up and went over to their place and said, hey, we've got this van. Wanted to know if you'd want it. And here's the question they ask. And you can almost hear the tension in their voice. They're, how much? Nothing. It's free. And all of a sudden, you just begin to see tears coming down. And they needed this for their family because they didn't have good transportation. Could we have sold and got a little bit of bucks? Yes, we could have. But instead, we talked about and said, there's a better thing. And we walked away from there, my wife and I. We walked away from there after they took our van and we said, we made the right decision. There's something about being generous. There's something about giving that Scripture says it's better. It's better to give than to receive. But so, like so many other people on the planet, we want to reverse that and go, no, I think it's better to receive. I mean, I'm looking forward to Christmas. I'm going to get a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm not going to buy anybody anything. I mean, that's what you're thinking right now, right? But yet here, Jesus is going counterculture. He said the world's going this way. No, it's better to give than to receive. Let me give you another verse. In 2 Corinthians 9:11, here's what it says. It says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be, say it with me, generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in, say it with me, thanksgiving to God. Now, let me explain this. This is Paul. Paul was a guy that did not believe that Jesus was who he was, and he was trying to kill Christians. But then Jesus, you got to read it in the book of Acts, flip Paul upside down. Paul all of a sudden realizes, because he had this amazing revelation, that Jesus is the Son of God. And all of a sudden, Paul starts churches in different communities. And he was in this one community, and what he was doing, what this verse is talking about, is he was receiving an offering from this one community over here. And he was going to go to this other community over here that didn't have a lot, and he was going to give them their gift, the offering that he gave. So he's telling them, look, I'm going to receive this offering, and when I give it to these other people, is what he was basically saying. He's going, is they, because of your generosity, they are going to praise God. They're going to thank God because of you. Just think about that. When you and I are generous, could it be that people are going to thank God because of you? You see, this is what happens when we are generous. But a lot of times, we aren't, because we don't feel like we can be generous. But yet, God says, it's better. It's better to give than to receive. So why don't we? Why don't we give more often? What holds us back from being generous? Well, let me give you a couple things, about three things for your notes if you're taking notes. First one is this. The first one is, we don't feel like we have enough. We're not generous because we don't feel like that we have enough. Mark, I'm barely scraping by now. If I were to give to somebody else, I wouldn't have enough. So I don't feel like I can give. So that's sometimes where some of us are at. Here's another reason why some people aren't generous. Another reason is because we have seen generosity be abused. You have seen generosity be, you've given to like maybe some organization in the country, and you find out like 75% of every dollar goes to their headquarters, and only like a quarter gets to the people or whatever. Like, man, that's abuse. Or maybe you've seen abuse in other ways. Maybe on TV preachers, you send in $100 and you're going to get $1,000 back. If that is true, guess what we're all doing? We're all sending in $100 bills, aren't we, right? But that's abuse. That's not necessarily what God is saying here. But yet we have seen abuse in generosity. So we don't give. We're not generous. Let me give you a third one. Third one is this. We live with a scarcity mindset. Mark, I just have enough. I'm good, but I don't live with an abundant mindset. Can I tell you, even what we have today is more than what most of the world has. And yet we think we're in scarcity, that we hardly have anything. Can I remind us of something? Can I remind us that, and we talked about this last week, when you were born, there was not a wallet or a purse that came out with you. You came out by yourself, nothing. And when you die, you are going to have nothing. When you die, you can't take it with you. So in this in-between time, God allows us to have what we have, and we are stewards of His because it was here before we came, and it's going to be here after we're gone. But yet we don't think we ever have enough. We have this scarcity mindset, and we don't realize that we have an abundant, we need to have abundant mindset because God has blessed us so much in America. And yes, you may not have as good as the neighbors or your friend down the street or whatever, but I'm going to tell you, you and I have it better in this country than most countries around the world. But yet we think we have a scarcity mindset. We just don't have enough. So let me ask you a question. This is the poll question I want to ask. The poll question I want to ask you is this. Which one describes you? Any of those three, or I'm going to give you a fourth one. A fourth one is that I give often and regularly. So is it one of those three that we talked about, or do you give often and regularly? Now listen, you can pick one and then hit submit. You can't pick two or three, only pick one. So think about it. And again, I'm going to promise this because people always ask me this. Mark, are you going to see my name? No, I'm not going to see who you are. So you can be honest, okay? It's just going to tally the percentage. It's not going to tell us your name or anything. We're not going to put your name up there. Oh, Larry, you're not giving. What's going on? We're not doing that, right? So go ahead, take a moment, open up your app, hit the poll button, and then answer the question. Was it one of the three? Why do we not give more? Is it one of the three we talked about, or is it the fourth one? I give often and regularly. So which one works for you? As you're doing that, we're going to give you just a second here, and then we're going to see some results. Here we go. Looks like 61% is saying, I give often and regularly. So basically, 6 out of 10, 40% are falling in the other categories. Don't feel like they have enough. They have a scarcity mindset, not abundant mindset. Or they've seen a generosity being abused. Now, I hope that's true because I don't need to see your names. But that's telling me 60%, 6 out of 10 of you do that. That's great. Can I tell you? God always promises to keep what He says He'll do. When God says it is better to give than to receive, there's a reason why He promises to make it be better. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Now, let me ask you this. Or let me give you this. Let me give you this verse. I love this verse. I love this verse. I've read this verse in other translations of the Bible, but there's a Message translation of the Bible. And here's how they word it this way. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Did you know that the Bible uses the word stingy? The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others, listen, the one who blesses others is what? Abundantly blessed. What God is saying to us is, look it, do you live in the world of the generous or the world of the stingy? Because when you are generous, abundantly generous, you will be abundantly blessed. And that goes back to the verse we talked about at the beginning. It is better to give than to receive. Do we believe these verses? And of course, everybody here is going to go, yes. But as soon as you hit the parking lot, you're going to go, no. Because you have to say yes. In church, that's what they taught you, right? But let's be honest. Do we believe this? We may nod our head yes and say that, but does our life reflect that? Does our life show that? And if not, guess what? Woo, you get a do-over. I get a do-over. We get a do-over. Because God is the do-over God. God always gives us another chance. So let's take a look at three truths from Scripture that will help us to grow in generosity. Three things that will help us to grow in generosity. Here's the first one if you're taking notes. Trust God with the tithe. Now, let me just preface this before I go into it. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, you can play on your phone right now. Because this is really for those who are followers of Jesus Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, Scripture talks about the tithe. What is the tithe? Well, Leviticus 27 tells us this. One-tenth, which would be 10%, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belong to the Lord. They belong to the Lord, not to you, not to me, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to Him as holy. Now, here's the interesting thing. Back then, they were in agriculture, so 10th of what they had, they gave. God is basically telling us the same thing. 10%, whatever we have, their finance, 10% goes to God. Now, that sounds a little scary for some people. Some people are like that. God, I don't know if I can handle that. I don't know if I can live off of 10%. Can I remind you of something? God, in his infinite wisdom, could have said, I'll just leave you at 10%. You could tithe me 90%. But God's going, nah, they're going to have a hard time with just 10%. Let's just leave it there. But God created this tenth, this tithe thing for a purpose and for a reason, for followers of Jesus Christ. Because this is one of God's ways to remind us that we did not come in with anything and we're not going to leave with anything. It's all his. And so often we don't remember that. We think we are self-made man or woman and everything I got is because of my, but can I just remind you? Even the ability to earn money, God gave you that. God gave you a body that can work. God gave you a brain that understands finance and be able to do these things. Everything you and I have is from God. You came in with nothing and you're going to leave with nothing. It is all his. And God in his infinite wisdom said this. I want my followers to remember that. I want my followers to remember that that's not about them. That I am the one that takes care of everything. And one way is just simply giving 10% back to remind you and I that God is really the one who provides for us. That God is the one who owns everything. It's a way to remind that we are not God. He is God. And again, he could have done it 90% and only keep 10%. But God said, no, just 10%. Just a way to remember that I am God and I am your provider. But for some reason, we oftentimes just don't do that. And then we come to this other verse in Malachi 3. This is an amazing verse. In Malachi 3, the Bible says this. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now, what's the storehouse? That's the local church. That there may be food in my house. You're like, wait, Mark, is there food here in the church? I mean, I got some coffee, I guess. I'm going to get some donut holes afterwards. Is that the food they're talking about? No. What the Bible's talking about here, so there's food in my house, talking about spiritual food. As we are chewing on the meat of the Bible, of what we are to do, what we are to apply to our life, how are we to live different from culture? That's the spiritual food. Some of you have kids that are over in the kids' wing right now. And the kids' wings, their kids are learning about Jesus and how to have a relationship with Jesus and how to be a disciple of Jesus on their age level. We've got the mix for fifth through eighth graders that they're learning on their level. Wednesday night, we have all the youth together. They're learning on their level. That's the spiritual meat of the food that we are eating at that time. So he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, local church, that there may be food, spiritual food in my house. And then he says this, it's only place in scripture. Test me in this. God, can I really test God? If God says we can, yes. He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not, and I love this part, listen, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not, there will not be room enough to store it. Now, here's the thing. Again, some people say, oh, give $100 and you're going to get $1,000 back from God. I don't know if that's true or not, but can I tell you that the blessings God's going to give, it could be financial, but it could be so many other things. Could be in your relationships, could be in your marriage being better, maybe health, maybe you have a relationship problem with your kid or with your parent, and all of a sudden it's starting to work out because you are honoring God the way that God has called you and I to do. And some of you are going, well, Mark, that's just Old Testament. But if you look at in Matthew 23:23 in the New Testament, Jesus affirms tithing. This is something that we've got to understand if we are a follower of God. And I know this is scary because if some people, if you have that scarcity mindset that we just talked about a little bit ago or don't feel like you have enough, you're like, there's no way I can begin to tithe. I can't honor God in that way. Can I tell you that as you do, God will always promise to keep his word, to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much that you cannot contain it. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen, in case you haven't figured this out. When God makes a promise, he will keep it. Because if God makes a promise and he doesn't, then that's a lie. And then if he lies, that is sin. And God cannot sin. So he will always keep his promises every time. And some of you are thinking right now, you go, oh my gosh, 10%? Are you kidding, Mark? And then last week, Mark, you were talking about financial debt and getting out of financial debt and stuff. So how am I supposed to do both, Mark? Huh? Pick one. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. We're going to talk about how does this actually work. But let me share with you a letter that I got this week. And I put it on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. This is a letter from a family in our church. So they wrote this. My husband and I live debt-free and really appreciated the messages the last 2 weeks. We don't fight about money and feel so blessed to be in the position we are with our finances. We firmly believe it began with tithing 10%. And then paying our debt off. We've lived this way for over 6 years now and thank God daily for his blessings. Everything you spoke about is completely true. We are living it. That's somebody that just wrote in this last week. And can I tell you that we get these often through connection cards, through emails, through letters, the people who write this thing that they said, I didn't think it would work, but it's working. What God says will actually work. It's amazing. And I know that some people are scared about that. That's why we always do what we call a 90-day tithe challenge here. If you tithe for 90 days, and after 90 days, if God doesn't bless you, we'll give you everything back. But I'm going to promise you, in some way, shape, or form, he's going to bless you. Because God never lies. He always keeps his promises. But we want to take the fear out of it for you. So that's why we have that 90-day tithe challenge, to be able to do that. So let me give you the second thing. Second one is this. Is to plan our generosity. We got to plan our generosity. Now, here's the interesting thing. You're probably like me and my family. When we want to go to buy something, we want to try to get the best deal possible. So we'll go to the store, we'll look online, we'll see if we have coupons or anything for it, and we'll try to get the best cost for that. And some of you really are excited about like 2 weeks from now when we do Black Friday, right? Or now it's like Black Thursday on Thanksgiving, where you're like going out like in the wee hours of the morning or whatever, trying to get these doorbusters, best deal ever. I got it so good that I didn't even owe the store money. They owed me money. I mean, it's just amazing, right? You know, you're just like always planning to get the best deal when you're trying to buy something, right? Why don't we try to make up a plan on how to do generosity? We plan on when we want to buy, but do we plan on when we give? When we want to be generous with somebody else? Do we ever do that? Isaiah 32, take a look at this. Isaiah 32, 8 says this. Generous people plan to do what is generous. They stand firm in their generosity. Would that be said of you? Would that be said of me? Are we generous people? Do we plan to do what is generous? See, we often sometimes plan we want to buy, but we don't plan to be generous. Why is that? You know, it's interesting. I was talking with a family, oh boy, probably about 7 years ago. And they told me something that I just remembered this ever since then. About 7 years ago, this family talked with me and said, Mark, we don't have a whole lot of money as a husband and wife. We don't have a whole lot of money, but we decided as a couple that we are going to set aside $20 every month to use to try to be generous to help other people. And so they gave me a few examples. Like they said, the very next month after we started doing this, there was some tornadoes down in the Midwest, and they're watching it on the news, and there was like, Red Cross. And so they gave the $20 to that to help people that had been in the tornadoes. The next month, they said they're at the grocery store in the checkout line, and there was a mom with a couple kids, and she didn't have enough money for her groceries. So she said, they said we stepped up and paid for those things. And they kept giving me like different things over every month, different ways that they've given this extra $20. That was, again, probably around 7 years ago, I think. About sometime in the last year, probably about a year ago maybe, I talked with them again. And they said, Mark, our finances have changed. We have more finances now. So we're still doing the same thing, but instead of $20 a month, we're doing $200 a month. And so here's a family that is planning their generosity. And I thought, well, that's just brilliant. I wonder how many other people plan like that to be generous to other people. Sometimes, let's be honest, we don't. We love it. Listen, we love it when people are generous to us, when we are the recipient. But remember the first verse we talked about, it is better to give than to receive. Somewhere we got to change our thinking. We got to understand what this is about. Let me give you a third thing. Third thing for being more generous is this. Start being generous now. Start being generous now. Some of you are going, wait a minute, Mark, I was here last week. And listen, you're telling us to get out of debt. Now you're telling us to start being generous now? Exactly. Listen, we are not going to wait to get out of debt to be generous. We're going to do both at the same time. We're going to be generous and we are going to get out of debt. Let me tell you what the Bible says in Philemon. Philemon says this, I'm praying that you will put it into action. What? What do you want to put into action? The generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Do we do that? Do we put it into action? Do we make plans? Do we actually become generous? Well, no, I don't have enough. I got to get out of debt. I got to do this. I got to pay this bill. But no, we can be generous now. Why? Can I tell you why? We had to be generous because God is generous. This is one of the reasons. Listen, this is one of the reasons why God calls us to be generous. Because God is a giver. God led the way with giving. Like, well, what did he give? I didn't get any money. I didn't get a flat screen TV. What did he give? Let me see. Let's think about this. He gave you this planet. He gave you your life. He gave you everything that you have in this world since you've been born until you died. He sent his son Jesus to leave heaven and come to earth. Jesus then grew up and died a horrible death for your sins, for your personal sins, so that if you so choose to accept what he did when he died, when he took the hit for you, you could have forgiveness of your sins. And to prove that he is the Son of God, to prove that he's over death and hell, he rose again. And now, if you so choose to accept what he did, you can have a relationship with him now on into eternity forever and ever. He's done everything for you. He's done everything for me. He's a giver. He gave his life. He gave everything. And that's what we are to do. We are to be givers as well. To be giving as God give. That's what Christian means, little Christ, being like Christ. We are to be like him, giving, being generous. That is the way Jesus is. Can I just show you something? It's on your app, but you also have it in your program if you got one today. There's a thing in here where we call our impact report. This is good as of last week, but this is showing what happens around here with the finances. Let me tell you what happens. Most churches don't do this, but we do. Every month, whatever tithes and offerings that comes in, at the end of the month, we take 10% of that. We take and we tithe off of the tithe. The church here, we give away 10% every month. We give it to agencies here in town that are doing amazing things like Mere Ministries, like the Union Gospel Mission, Grace Clinic, U-Medic. I mean, so many here in this town that we give support to because we're like, man, they are champions and we want to honor them. And so we give a tithe to those people, to those agencies. We give part of the money to other areas around our country that are just doing amazing things in different places around the world where people desperately need help. Some of the finances that we give, that 10% where we tithe, is we tithe to another area, which is our C3 resources and C3 counseling. So the people that can't afford counseling or don't have insurance, they can see a Christian counselor here for free. We also have C3 resources where people inside or outside the church are struggling and need help with something, come and we are able to help them, but not just help them. The goal is to try to help them, not just for their immediate problem, but also to try to get back on their feet so that next month they don't have that same problem. You see, because of your and my generosity in our tithing, the church tithes on the tithing. And you'll see so many, and this isn't even done because we still got about a month and a half left of the year to finish out, but this is where we're at so far. And listen, next week you got to come back because next week we're going to talk about something new that C3 is going to be doing to help a whole bunch of people that's going to be happening in 2020. So you'll be hearing about that next week. Why does God want us to be generous? Because God is a generous God. He says, give me the first and the best, the 10%, and I will take care of the rest. And he tells us to be generous. And he tells us to be generous now. The question that each of us have to answer is, will we do it? will we do it? Let's pray. So, Father, as we wrap up our time, we thank you that you're an amazing God. We thank you, God, that you are a giver. God, I thank you for your son, Jesus, who gave everything. He gave up eternity to come to the sinful, fallen world. He came to this world to grow up and then die to take the penalty for my sins and for everybody's sins in this room and in this building right now. But Jesus, we have to first accept what you did. When you gave your life, we have to accept what you did. And so Jesus, there are some right now under the sound of my voice, either on the online stream or one of the venues, that right now they haven't accepted and they know that. Maybe there's some right now today that maybe had a relationship with you at some point, but something happened and they kind of walked away. But they're here re-exploring. They're here checking out to see if you really are real. And today they're hearing that you are an amazing giver. You gave everything. You gave your life. And you gave us eternity. And you gave us salvation if we accept it. So Lord, today, right now, those that are here exploring, there are some that know that today is their day. And they bow their heart. And in their own way, their own words, they're just asking right now for your forgiveness. And they're accepting, Jesus, what you did on the cross when you died for them, when you died for their sins so that they don't have to pay the penalty. So, Lord, I pray for those that are making that decision right now, that are accepting a relationship with you and coming into you and knowing you as Lord of their life and Savior of their soul. And Lord, I pray for those right now that are making that decision. May they sense your presence, your arms around them. May they know instantaneously that's the prayer you always answer right away. And they are right now, this moment, sons or daughters of yours. Father, for those, as we talk about being generous and giving, Lord, would you help us? Sometimes, you know, we're afraid. We have some of these fears that we have a scarcity mindset, not an abundant mindset. We don't feel like we have enough. We've seen abuse. But Lord, may we take you at your word and test you in this. And we thank you because we know you're going to open up the floodgates. So we say thank you in advance in your name.